I'd like to read for us now the passage assigned for the evening, Ephesians chapter 5. I'll be reading it from the New King James Version. So if you're there, that would be found on page 1799. That is in at least one of the versions here, 1799, Ephesians chapter 5. Please give close attention. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named, not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Jesus, in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful words of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Pastor Barnes, a couple weeks ago, let me know this was the chapter. He couldn't have known, but a significant part of this chapter was my Greek exegesis assignment for my seminary and then my presbytery exams about 30 years ago. Good thing for you, that was 30 years ago. So I just have four things that I'd like to share in about 7 minutes. So just focus on this chapter, just seeing what's there very quite obviously. First of all, Ephesians as a whole is the classic Pauline epistle. That is gospel doctrine followed by gospel applications. Because this is true, therefore respond this way. And it's divided right in half. The first three chapters are mainly doctrine. The last three chapters are mainly application. There are five therefores in this chapter. Did you see them all? It just hearkens to us. Because these things, therefore live this way. Most specifically, since we are rescued out of the state of being dead in our trespasses and sins, and that by God's sovereign grace through His gift of faith, all of that way back in Ephesians 2, which is right in the middle of the doctrine portion, here we are in Ephesians 5, which is precisely the middle chapter of the application half, and the emphasis is walking. It comes up three times. Walk this way, walk this way, walk this way. A major biblical figure of speech for our consistent way of living. Sometimes we're told not to walk as the wicked. Walking is the way we live. It can be wicked or righteous. We're called to walk in a righteous manner. Verse 1, walk in love. Verse 8, walk as children of the light, that is truth. And verse 15, walk with great care. You know what? It's not normal in this world to link these words, love, truth, and care. It is not normal. That is, we are to love for real, that is in truth, and that requires careful understanding of love and careful walking it out. Second thing, Paul must know that this is a challenge. This is going to be hard. Because the first part of Ephesians 5, which we read tonight, is full of warnings. How we are not to walk, not to live, not to love this way. Walking, living, and loving carefully includes evidently a lot of avoidance. And it's just motivated by the self-sacrifice of Christ in verse 2, of course, to the Father for us as His sign of love. Let your love include taking off, putting away, and fleeing from, this is a simple list, immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, covetousness, idolatry, and deceit. Basically, all of the unfruitful deeds of darkness. And you say, what does that mean? Just look at the world around you in 2023. Mainly, don't live that way. The fruitless deeds of darkness. Now, since walking and living humans are very bad at doing nothing, it's almost impossible while we're awake to do nothing. In the place of not doing those things, Paul charges us to walk out all of the godly opposites. And so we are to walk as children of light. And with great care, as the church together, we're also, one little verse there, expose the darkness that we are leaving behind. It is not good enough to say, I'm done with darkness. We are done with it as practicing and walking in it. But we are to have a function of exposing that darkness for the good of our world, neighbors, and the church. Third thing, Ephesians 5:15 starts us down a powerful life way to notice that humans must be filled with something. In the same way that we have to do something, we must be filled with something. By our sinful nature, did you know what we're commonly filled with? We're filled with foolishness and wastefulness, especially the waste of time, which is really the waste of a life. That is another epidemic of our time. Wasting time, wasting hours, days, years, and wasting life. And that's the way of the world. And all of this is miserably illustrated by drunkenness. That's called out here. Drunkenness is the symbol for us of a foolish, wasted life. That is not being filled with wine. Being filled with wine is a big problem. That's how we used to be. Certainly all of us used to be foolish and wasteful. Maybe some of us were drunkards. But if we're not supposed to be filled with wine and waste and folly, then what are we to be filled with? Do you know the answer to that question? The Holy Spirit. Do not be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I believe Paul actually invests the next 35 verses. After he says, be filled with the Spirit, I can imagine the church raising its hand. What do you mean? And he spends, I think, the next 35 verses spelling that out. What does that mean? And notice, a lot of people in our time say, I'm filled with the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And they mean having emotional mood swings, speaking in tongues, and showing off. And that does not occur in these 35 verses. It starts with worship. As Paul begins to say, this is what it means to be filled with the Spirit. He starts with worship, and I mean singing, and I mean singing psalms, which are about Christ, by which we counsel and encourage one another before the Lord. Fourth and finally, so you want to be Spirit-filled. Start by singing psalms from the heart. I'm glad that you've arrived at a church tonight, whether you knew it or not. You're going to be singing psalms. I don't know if we can't control how you sing them from the heart, but I urge you to do so. That means sincerely. And then the passage goes on. The next aspect of being filled with the Spirit is to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But to do so in all of the relationships, the specific relationships of life. So it's not good enough for us to say, let's all submit to one another equally all the time. No, it starts with wives. Be subject to your own husbands. It's going to go on a little bit later to talk about children and parents in that relationship. It's going to talk about slaves and masters. Paul, in other epistles, talks about submitted relationships in the church and in the state. And all of those are ways that we are filled with the Spirit. That is different than being drunk with wine and being foolish and wasteful. It's being under God, submitting out of reverence to Christ in the relationships that we have. So closing chapter 5, I'm sure some of you thought, am I at a wedding? Because those verses that I read at the close of chapter 5 are spoken or read at many, many Christian weddings. A classic wedding text. And it connects the marriage relationship to that of Christ and His church. Notice, very quickly, the Holy Spirit speaks to the wives first. And He speaks directly to them. He doesn't say to the husbands, now you make sure to go home and lecture your wives about this. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, is speaking to you wives. There's some dignity there. This is a little bit unusual for that time, 2,000 years ago. He cares about you. But the mandate is clear, be subject to your own husbands. And then it turns to the husband, and it calls you the head, but as defined by the loving and sacrificial headship of Christ. There's simple mandates here. I'm sure that you've read them and studied them before. But all of these are aspects of our careful, against the world, walking, living, and loving. All of this is impossible unless we are being ever filled with the powerful Spirit of Christ. God bless you in doing that. Our Father in heaven, you have put a lot of your word before us tonight out of Hebrews, which is convicting, and out of Ephesians 5, which is most challenging to walk out this saved by grace life that we have now and these ways that are very specific to how we're not to be like we were, foolish, wasteful, and drunk, but we are to be filled with something. And we're also to be characterized as children of light, children of truth. And we're to walk out a loving, careful, faithful life together with the church, together with our families, and before the world. And we do still have a responsibility to that world that we have fled behind. Lord, it's not good enough to keep sprinting the other way. You can't do that and expose the darkness. So we have to care about this dark, foolish, and wasteful world that we live in. For we know, according to your promise, you have your elect in that broken world, just as, such as we were, Lord. And I am so grateful in my own story that some people reached out to me when I was lost in this world. And I would say the same for everybody here, that there was a time that we were not in Christ, and either by family or by a church or by neighbors or friends, people kept reaching out. Some of us were stubborn 10, 15, 20 times, but people kept doing that. And I pray, Jesus, particularly for the outreach that's going to be happening this weekend around this church and around the city of Grandview. We ask that that would be a fruitful occasion. And it would be not only encouraging for those who hear the gospel for the first or the tenth time, but also encouraging for the workers, for the sowers. We know from the Psalms that some of our sowing will be in tears as we work hard and we don't see the results, and we wonder sometimes if we're wasting our lives. It's not true. It is always fruitful. But I pray that you would give some of the people in the room, maybe all of them, the joy of the Holy Spirit, even this Saturday. Even as they prepare for that, God, I just pray that they would have surprising occasions to speak your gospel even before Saturday. And I praise you, God, for a sister church that is willing and ready to do that. We also pray for those pastors and their elders and others who will stand on busy street corners, on a soapbox, as it were, and preach on street corners, reminding us very much of the book of Acts. The world that Paul and the apostles spread out into reminds us very much of the world that we have today, a world where there are many gods. I see that you worship many gods. You're very superstitious. And give us opportunities to speak in the marketplaces and places where people spend their time. But I'm grateful, God, you put it on the hearts of these people to hear your word once again tonight. In light of Pastor Massey's time with his congregation this morning, we would ask a strong blessing for the nation of Pakistan, both in the little villages like Chara, but also the huge places like Karachi. We understand 17 million souls there, most of whom do not know their right hand from their left, as wise as they think they might be. They don't know the Creator. They don't know the only Redeemer. They don't know their end from their beginning. And we would ask that Andrew B. and others on that team would be very faithful and therefore fruitful in those great cities of the Middle East. We ask that our great cities would also be reached for Christ, including Kansas City, which is so close nearby. Bless us, God, with eyes to see and ears to hear new things from your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.